Ehanila premadana karuna prachu. Hello, Prabhu. Divine grace. Abhaya Chandanar Vatavananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijaya. Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijaya. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijaya. Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Kijaya. Paren Seiko Hoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Garatha Srila Siddhi Gaur Vakavinda Kijaya. Shri Radha Krishna, Govinda Sayam Kunda, Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai. Maturnam kijaya jagadapasami kajaya yumanamai kajaya shimadaglasade kajaya samvita bhakta vrinda kajaya gaur pranganda hanikari. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, with the translation. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who is filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where am I, Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. And so, So today we are commemorating the disappearance day of Srila Jayadeva Goswami, and Jayadeva Goswami is extremely important in our sampradaya for many different reasons. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly read his Gita Govinda, which is an elaboration on the very intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. However, the Gita Govinda begins with something called the Dasa Avatar Shlokas. That means the 10 incarnations by Lord Nrsingadev, Keshavadrita, Narahari Rupa, the tortoise incarnation, Keshavadrita Korma Shurira, Balaram Haladara Rupa, Rama Shivira, Lord Ramchandra. So it begins with establishing the tattva. Tattva means the actual unassailable truth. That means the truth that never changes. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna's Supreme Personality, got it. And all the incarnations, Eti, Chanta, Kalak, Pumsa, Krishna, Srivad, once again, all come from Krishna. So, here's a little history of Jayadeva Goswami. Appeared in around the 1100s, and he was the chief pundit in the court of King Lakshmana Seva. And he had his beautiful wife, her name was Padmavati, and he actually married her because Lord Jagannath gave her to him. It's interesting, because she was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath, and when he went to Puri, Lord Jagannath made all the marriage arrangements. Pretty good. Lord Jagannath is a marriage broker in this particular case. So, as I mentioned, Lord Chaitanya relished the Gita Govinda, as well as Chandidas's works, Vidyapati's works, Ram Rai, and Krishna Karnamrita by Bill Vamangal. Of course, these are very intimate books. There's an interesting story about the Gita Govinda, which I think most of you have heard before. Once upon a time, the Gita Govinda, while Jayadeva Goswami was writing the Gita Govinda, he had the inclination to write down that Krishna bows down to touch Radharani's feet. Now, for those of you who are chauvinistic, that's pretty heavy. You know, this time we also have our chauvinistic sampradaya. So, you know, imagine a husband touching, of course, Krishna's eternally married to Radharani at the same time as the Padukiya Ras. But imagine a boyfriend or a husband, nowadays, of course, anything happens. But anyway, but imagine a traditional society. A man touching his wife's feet. Oh my God. So Jayadeva Goswami thought about it, and he was thinking, this is not proper. And so he left his writing for a few minutes, and thought, now I got to take a bath, you know, refresh my mind. And after that, I'll take prasadam and I'll get back to my writing. So we went to take a bath. In the meantime, Krishna comes and assumes the guise or the form of Jayadeva Goswami. And guess what? He takes prasadam from Jayadeva Goswami's wife, Padmavati, and eats very nicely. And then he goes back to the writing, which Jayadeva Goswami was doing in the Gita Govinda, and he completes that particular verse. That Krishna bows down to touches Radharani's feet. So, Krishna directly admitted it. He wasn't proud. It's funny. So, anyway, so then Jayadeva Goswami comes back after Krishna disappears, and Jayadeva Goswami says to his wife after taking a bath, time for prasadam, Priya. And Priya means dear. You know, like in English we say dear, and so in Sanskrit they say dear, Priya. So he said, time for prasadam. And Padmavati said, guess what, Prabhu, or Swami, or Pati Guru. Essentially, there's different names. The wife is supposed to call the husband, not by his name, it's supposed to call Pati Guru, usually Pati Guru, or Pati, or Swami. Swami means master. So, she says, guess what? You ate already. And he said, what do you mean I ate already? And she said, yes, you ate, and you sat down and wrote something. And he thinks, boy, my wife must have Alzheimer's disease or something. She doesn't remember that she thinks I ate already. And so anyway, he goes to the book, and he looks at his book, and he says, Krishna bows down, and touches Radha on his feet, and he becomes like, what? Krishna must have done this. And then he goes back to his wife and says, dear, you are so fortunate you got directly to serve Krishna. And that's a wonderful story for the Gita Govinda. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the conjugal understanding of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna was awakened in Jayadeva's heart because of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Although not externally, Jayadeva Goswami never met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu externally. Of course, there's some story in the Navadvipa Mahatma about this, but that's a different thing. Another book he wrote was the Chandra Loka. He worshipped the deities of Radha, Madhava, and these deities are worshipped also in Jaipur right now. And there's a wonderful temple of Jayadeva Goswami in Radhakund. Actually, it's a new temple in Radhakund, very beautiful. And then there's the Bhajan Kutir of Jayadeva Goswami when he went to Radhakund. Anyway, wonderful. So those that were going to India with me will visit that particular temple of Radhakund. He is considered the incarnation of melody. And he was a Sanskrit scholar from a very early age. So what happened is that when he was in Jagannath Puri, something very interesting happened. The king, who is known as Gajapati. Now, that's an interesting term. That's a generic term for a king in the Vedic civilization. It means the controller of elephants. That's what king is called, Gajapati. So he was envious of Jayadeva, and especially the Gita Govinda. So he composed his own Gita Govinda because he thought, you know, this Jayadeva, you know, I'm much better poet than him. So even the king's men thought this was ridiculous. And they compared the king's writing to a lamp and Jayadeva's writing to the sun. So in other words, a lamp has a different amount of illumination than the sun does, and a lamp cannot illuminate the sun. Even they understood this. So the king was determined, so this is a controversy. So we're going to settle this argument by placing both of the books in front of Lord Jagannath in the evening. And then when we wake up in the morning, open up the curtains, we'll see what Lord Jagannath does with the book, with both books. So in the morning, the deities had Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govinda clasped, at least Lord Jagannath, clasped to his chest like that. And the king's so-called Gita Govinda was just like ripped up and scattered on the floor. So in other words, Lord Jagannath didn't appreciate this. And so because of that, Jayadev Goswami's fame spread all over India, and the Gita Govinda was sung in every major temple and courtyard. Even the Muslims used to hear it. And by the 15th century, the art in every traditional style, whether you're talking about Gujarati style, Uttar Pradesh style, Rajasthani style, Punjabi style, had an illustrated edition of the Gita Govinda. That's how famous it was. And actually there's a 1590, that means the year 1590, edition, which is on display at the Bombay Museum. The Emperor Akbar, who was a Mughal Muslim, admired Gita Govinda, and he was the one who commissioned, remember he's a Muslim, and he commissioned an edition of the Gita Govinda to be made with Mughal style artwork in it. So even the Mughals, Muslims, were actually very much appreciative of the Gita Govinda. So, talking about the king, the Jatapati, he was so upset that he was defeated that he resigned from being king, which is pretty good. And it's described that, here, several things. The words from the Gita Govinda are inscribed on the gateway, the Jayavijaya gateway to Lord Jagannath's temple in Jagannath Puri. And every night, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would listen to the Gita Govinda. And Prabhupada said that Jayadev Goswami was one of the Mahajanas. Even though he's not listed in the Dwadasa, you know, the 12 Mahajanas, Prabhupada said he's one of the great souls. Of course, we are cautioned to read Bhagavad Gita and Srila Prabhupada's books before we go into Jayadev Goswami's books, because Jayadev Goswami's books are meant to be read by liberated souls. What is a liberated soul? Vishaya Chariya Kavi Shudha Kavi Mana, one who has no more Vishaya, attachment to this material world. Even if you're attached to your cell phone, you're not liberated. Even if you're attached to Star Wars, you're not liberated. So, it's a high standard. Anyway, that's Jayadev Goswami, so we'll go on to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, what verse are you reading today? Is it 22, or? Because obviously, I don't know, I haven't been here for a while. Is it 22 or 23 or what?
It's
22.
22? Yeah.
Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 14, text 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Twenty-three.
Okay. That's quite a bit different. Ekas.
Ekas.
Twam.
Twam.
Atma.
Atma.
Purushaha.
Purushaha.
Puranaha.
Puranaha.
Satyaha.
Satyaha.
Swayam.
Swayam.
Jyotir.
Jyotir.
Ananta.
Ananta.
Adyaha.
Adyaha.
Nityo.
Akshara,
Ajastra,
Sukho,
Niranjanaha,
Apurnadvayo,
Mukta, Upadito,
Amritaha,
Ekastvam Atma Purusha Purana.
Ekasvam Atma Purusha Purana
Satya Swayam Jyotir Anantah Jah
Satya Swayam Jyotir Anantah Jah
Nityokshara Jashra Sukho Niranjana
Nityokshara Jashra Sukho Niranjana
Purnadvaya Mukta Upadito Mrita
Purnadvaya Mukta Upadito Mrita
Ekastvam Atma Purusha Purana Satya Swayam Jyotir Anantah Jah Nityokshara Jashra Sukho Niranjana Purnadvaya Mukta Upadhito Mrita Ekastvam Atma Purusha Purana Satya Swayam Jyotir Anantah Jah Nityokshara Jashra Sukho Niranjana Purnadvaya Mukta Upadhito Mrita
Ekastvam Atma Purusha Purana
Purusha Purana
Satya Swayam Jyotir Anantah Jah
Satya Swayam Jyotir Anantah Jah
Akshara Jashra Sukho Niranjana
Nityokshara Jashra Sukho Niranjana Purnadvaya Mukta Upadhito Mrita Anyone else?
Ekastvam Atma Purusha Purana
Satya Swayam Jyotir Anantah
Jah Nityokshara Jashra Sukho Niranjana Purnadvaya Mukta Upadhito Mrita
Okay. Ekaha.
Ekaha.
One.
One.
Twam.
Twam.
You.
You.
Atma.
Atma.
The Supreme Soul.
Supreme Soul.
Purushaha.
Purushaha.
The Supreme Person.
The Supreme Person.
Puranaha.
Puranaha.
The Oldest.
The Oldest.
Satyaha,
Satya,
the Absolute Truth.
Swayam
Jyotihi,
self-manifested.
Anantaha,
Anantaha,
without end.
Adyaha,
without beginning.
Nityaha,
eternal.
Eternal.
Aksharaha,
Aksharaha,
indestructible.
Indestructible.
Ajastrasukkaha,
Ajastrasukkaha,
whose happiness cannot be obstructed. Niranjanaha,
Niranjanaha,
devoid of contamination.
Devoid of contamination.
Purna,
Purna.
Complete.
Complete.
Advayaha.
Advayaha.
Without a second.
Without a second.
Muktaha.
Muktaha.
Free.
Free.
Upadhitaha.
Upadhitaha.
From all material designations.
From all material designations.
Amritaha.
Amritaha.
Deathless.
Deathless.
Translation. You are the one Supreme Soul, the primeval Supreme Personality, the Absolute Truth, self-manifested, endless, and beginningless. You are eternal and infallible, perfect and complete, without any rival, and free from all material designations. Your happiness can never be obstructed, nor have you any connection with material contamination. Indeed, you are the indestructible nectar of immortality. You can repeat. You are the one supreme soul.
You are the one supreme soul.
The primeval supreme personality.
Primeval supreme personality.
The absolute truth.
The absolute truth.
Self-manifested.
Self-manifested.
Endless and beginningless.
Endless and beginningless.
You're eternal and infallible. Perfect and complete.
Perfect and complete.
Without any rival.
Without any rival.
And free from all material designations.
And free from all material designations.
Your happiness can never be obstructed.
Your happiness can never be obstructed.
Nor have you any connection.
Nor have you any connection.
With material contamination.
Indeed, you are the indestructible nectar of
immortality. So purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So Srila Sridhara Swami explains how the various terms of this verse demonstrate that the transcendental body of Lord Krishna is free from the characteristics of material bodies. All material bodies go through six phases: birth, growth, maturity, reproduction, decline, and destruction. But Lord Krishna does not take a material birth, since He is the original reality, a fact clearly indicated here by the word Aja original. We take our material birth within a particular material atmosphere in material bodies that are amalgamations of various material elements. Amalgamate, just a fancy word for combinations. But it means that someone put them together too. It's not only same as the word combination, it means being put together by someone. Like when you amalgamate something, someone does it. Since Lord Krishna existed long before the creation of any material atmosphere or element, there is no question of material birth for His transcendental body. Similarly, the word purna, meaning full and complete, refutes the concept that Lord Krishna could grow, since He is ever existing in fullness. When one's material body becomes mature, one can no longer enjoy as in youth. Tell me all about it. For the words ajastra sukha, enjoying unobstructed happiness, indicate that Lord Krishna's body never reaches so-called middle age, since it is always full of spiritual usual bliss. The word akshara, undiminishing, refutes the possibility that Lord Krishna's body grows old or declines. And the word amrita, immortal, negates the possibility of death. In other words, Lord Krishna's transcendental body is free from the transformations of material bodies. The Lord does, however, create innumerable worlds and expand Himself as innumerable living entities. But the Lord's so-called reproduction is completely spiritual and does not take place at a certain phase of bodily existence. Rather, it constitutes the Lord's eternal proclivity to expand His spiritual bliss and glories. As the Lord states in Shruti, Purvam Ivaham Ivasam, I alone existed in the beginning. Therefore, here the Lord is called Purusha Puranaha, the primeval enjoyer. This original Purusha expands Himself as the Supersoul and enters every living being. Still, He is ultimately the Absolute Truth. Krishna, as stated in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Yakshakshit Pada Brahmeti Govindam Satchirananda Vigraham Vrindavana Sura Rura Bhur Ruha Talashina. The Absolute Truth Himself is Govinda, who has an eternal form of bliss and knowledge, and who is sitting beneath the shady desired trees of Vrindavana. This Absolute Truth is beyond material ignorance and beyond even ordinary spiritual knowledge, as stated in the same Gopala Tapani Shruti. Vidya vidya yam vinaha. Thus, in many ways, the supremacy of Lord Krishna has been established in the Vedic literature and is here confirmed by Lord Brahma himself. So ekastvam atma purusha purana satya svayam jyotir ananta satya chokshara jasra sukarnanjana purnadvayo mukta upadito mritaha. So om gadat vidandasya gananjana shlakya chakshur miritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So this morning I was listening to Srila Prabhupada speak on the beach of Bombay to his friend Mr. Patel. And Prabhupada was making a very strong point about the qualities of God. Of course, he was referring to the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where the universal form is displayed. And Arjuna says, let me see your original form. Your four-handed form is the personality of God, and then the original form as Krishna. And so Prabhupada was talking about the qualities of God, and then Prabhupada made reference to, actually even mentioned the name of, Satyasai Baba. Prabhupada said, what's that guy's name? Ms. Patel, Satyasai Baba. Oh yeah, Satyasai Baba, you know. He showed some mystic tricks. And those who are not aware of the technology, as Prabhupada was talking about, they think he's God. And we see so many instances where these imitation gods, Prabhupada talks about imitations, Prabhupada uses the word imitation and so-called. It's interesting. So-called gods or so-called Brahmins or so-called this or so-called that is one of Prabhupada's terms. So Prabhupada said they have to show the qualities of God. And here in this particular verse, the qualities of God are there for us to see. And if someone doesn't manifest these particular qualities, they're not gone. It's as simple as that. Now one may counter that Krishna, you may say, well, Krishna has a spiritual body, but why is he appearing here as a little boy? Why was he a little baby? Why does that baby later on become a full-grown man? Actually, full-grown means Krishna never looks more than 16. But still, it appears that Krishna's body is being transformed, doesn't it? If you look at it, or if you hear about it, because you hear about the various ages, you know, Kaumara, Apoganda, Kaishora, right? The different ages of Krishna. You think, this is transformation. You know, I had my Kumara age, and I had my Paganda age, and my Kishore age, and also I have another age, old age. But anyway, so Krishna appears to be changing his body up to a point, and this is a great mystery. But then we can understand the nature of God, the nature of Krishna, is that he can manifest his self-same body, ajopi sanna yadma bhutanam ishwarapisham, prakabhim shramadishtaya sambhavami admaya. He can manifest his body in any way that he wants. He can manifest himself as a fish, he can manifest himself as a tortoise, as a half-man, half-lion, and all the various incarnations of life. And because he's all-powerful, he can do anything, he can manifest himself any way he wants. He can manifest himself in the universal form. Of course, that's not the spiritual body. The universal form is a temporary manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, but the proof that his body is transcendental is that he doesn't get older than a certain age. Like Prabhupada comments on when he was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he looked like a 16-year-old boy in spite of being 125 years old. I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it? People nowadays are asking about the fountain of youth, but Krishna doesn't need the fountain of youth. Ponce de Leon's fountain of youth. So that's one of the qualities, that Krishna is always youthful. And also, whatever age he manifests, whatever physical or not physical, Krishna's body never physical, whatever external manifestation Krishna has is for his own enjoyment, which is actually mentioned here. Ajasra Sukaha, whose happiness cannot be obstructed. So everything Krishna does, as we've mentioned many times before, is for his own happiness. You know, you analyze Krishna's psychology. And his psychology is, you know, why does Krishna do this? Why does Krishna do that? Because he likes to. You know, people ask this question, why does Krishna play a flute? Well, is it because his mother sent him to flute school when he was young? Like my mother sent me to guitar school when I was young. No, because he likes to. Why does Krishna use the shrutis and chakra? Why doesn't he use M16? Like nowadays. Because he likes to. That's fun. Because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So whatever he does because he enjoys it. And even when you take the statement in the Gita, Vritranaya Sadanandanishaya Chudushkritam, that I come to annihilate the miscreants and establish religious principles, protect the devotees, etc. Krishna does it because he enjoys it. He doesn't have to do it. Krishna doesn't have to do anything. So that's independent. And then, of course, this is very much similar to the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, the last verse, text 22, which was I was looking at before, is practically exactly the same as the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam in its import. So Krishna is Swara. He's independent. He's Aptakama. He gets whatever he wants. So when you observe someone with all of these different qualities, then you can understand that person is the supreme personality of Godhead. And another quality, was the other quality I want to mention. Actually, in reference to the Ishapanishad, Om Purnamadam, that Krishna is perfect and complete, and so many complete units emanate from him, and he doesn't become changed or he doesn't, like Parinama, he doesn't become altered by his manifestation of all these things. So, any questions or comments? Yes.
You know, human beings, especially in this era we're in, cannot even comprehend how big and how creative Krishna really is.
Yes.
In reality, I mean, we compare it to our, you know, ourness, we compare it with him, and we
exactly.
can comprehend it. But he's just so far beyond that, because it says in the thing that, in, I'm paraphrasing, he would, you know, in the beginning he was, he was there before the creation.
Yes.
But he decided to be creative on this level. I mean, what was he prior to the universe? I mean, what was really up there? I mean, but he decided to just build the universe and just, let's just...
And it happened.
Yeah, wow.
And he did it while he was sleeping. You know, can you do it? I mean, the only thing, I'm not wanting to mention what I create when I'm sleeping. It's something that I have to take a bath for afterwards. You know, when Krishna, he just desired to create. He takes rest, and all the universes come out, little bubbles from his pores and from his breathing. And that's the nature of God. The main point is he's a chincha. That means inconceivable. You can't understand it. If you could conceive of God, he wouldn't be God. If you could understand. All you can understand, he's unlimited. He could do anything he wants. And he was existing, you know, Hamli Vansam, Nevagre, Nanya Yatsara Satparam, Paschadaham, Yavitas, Cha, Yoga Shesheta. Shows me how before the creation, he existed. During the creation, he exists, and after the creation, he exists. You know, what else do we understand about Krishna? We can love Krishna. So, any other questions? We got 2 minutes. Yes.
You mentioned how even Akbar had this verse so Govinda, how is it called?
Gita Govinda.
Gita Govinda, yet that whole, I say, book is very, very confidential. So, how come this was so spread?
Akbar actually has special mercy from the Acharyas, especially from Jiva Goswami. When Akbar went to Vrindavan, and Akbar, see, he was an ordinary mogul. Akbar was interested in basically amalgamating, again we're using that word, all the different religions so that everybody could get along with each other and chant Kumbaya. You understand Kumbaya? No, nobody knows what Kumbaya
is. I know.
It means we love each other. So he wanted to, he had scholars from each and every religion and they would study together and try to come up with something to amalgamate everything together. And so, but he really appreciated every religion. So he would go and associate with Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami, in this place called Nidivan, that means a sleeping forest, showed him, basically gave him a realization of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So here was someone, even though he was a mogul, he had special mercy from Jiva Goswami. And he was able to appreciate. I mean, some people appreciate the Gita Govinda because they project their own material concepts, you know, lusty concepts of man and woman relationship upon the Absolute. And so they, it stimulates their lust. You know, in other words, it's, if you read these intimate literatures with the wrong consciousness, you get something called vicarious enjoyment. You know what vicarious enjoyment is? That means you're enjoying your senses by hearing someone else's lusty affairs. Or if I read about someone eating some lubjimans or something like that, you know, and I may enjoy subtly. That's called vicarious enjoyment. So I'm sure some of the Muslims, they actually had that particular attitude, especially since they weren't devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Akbar was especially blessed by Shri Jiva Goswami.